And then we'll look at those three verses for a few moments this morning. All right. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Thine heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Do they not err that devise evil, but mercy and truth shall be to them that devise good? In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury, which is poverty and debt. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. In the multitude of people is the king's honor, but in the want of people is the destruction of the prince. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker, but he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. The wicked is driven away in his wickedness, but the righteous hath hope in his death. Wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. Now, when we look at the book of Proverbs, and one of the things about the book of Proverbs, it is filled with tons of practical wisdom. And God gives us a lot of things that, there's a lot of things here that God teaches us that is so obvious. I mean, if you look at verse 1, for example, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. You know, you can actually apply that to men or women. If you're wise, you take the time to invest in your home, whether it be the family, the building, the property, all of that and you take care of it and you invest in it, and it gives you a return. All right, but if you pluck it down, if you don't tend to the things that you're supposed to do, if you don't take care of your family, if you don't take care of your property, if you don't take care of your home and all those things, they're going to all fall apart, aren't they? It's going to be just like you took it and just tore it down. And so there's a lot of wisdom in there that we could look at. Verse 17, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. You know, if you are very soon angry, if you get angry all the time and everything, and that anger comes out, people don't like you, do they? And anger is something we all have to learn to deal with, isn't it? That's just common sense. So there's a lot of good wisdom that God gives us in the book of Proverbs. But when we looked at the verses that we had here, that the ones that people said that spoke to their hearts, and you know, when we talk about God speaking in your heart, when you're reading the Bible, you know, God may speak to you through a verse for a lot of different reasons. It may have to do with the situation you're going through and how to handle that. It may have to do with a flaw in your own character that God is saying, hey, this is what you need to work on. It may have to do with somebody else who you see that flaw in their character, and it gives you some wisdom and some insight of how to deal with them and maybe how to help them. There's a lot of things. The Bible's wisdom is eternal. And so when we look at these passages of scriptures, we need to understand some things that we need to understand that wisdom and learn how to apply it. Proverbs 14:9, which was the first verse that we had the overlap that people said spoke to them, was Proverbs 14:9. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. All right? You know, that passage of Scripture is something that I think everybody here should be able to see and understand, even the little kids. Because can you ever remember being a child and being with a bunch of people? Don't worry about it. It's okay. Have you ever seen a bunch of children together, and one of them does something wrong, or they do something wrong, and then they all start laughing about it? You ever seen that? Even little children, and you ought to have seen it, because most likely you were right in the midst of that at some point. And you know, that is the nature of man. That's part of the nature that we have to get over. And as children, we see things that are wrong, and a lot of times we laugh at it. I had a friend one time that he came over to my house, and we were playing together, and he had some little water guns, water pistols. And I say this to my shame, because I shouldn't have done it and everything. And once it was found out, I wished I hadn't done it. But we sat there and we took his water pistols and we went in there and we got some food coloring, and we put the food coloring in the water pistols. And you know, in my neighborhood, we didn't have a lot of people that had wash machines and dryers and stuff when I was growing up. And so most people had their wash out on the line. So he said, we're going to go do this. And I jumped in with him. And we were running through the neighborhood squirting people's sheets and clothes with this colored water and laughing the whole time. But once it got found out, there wasn't any laughing about it. And a lot of times children do something foolish. But at some point we have to grow up, don't we? At some point we ought to grow up. We ought to grow up, and we ought to get to the point where we don't mock sin. We don't mock and laugh about our own wrongdoing. We want to change. We want to do something about it. And the Bible says, but among the righteous, there is favor. Now, kids, listen to me very carefully. If you do something wrong and laugh at it, don't get mad at the people who did the right thing and didn't get punished. If you laugh about your sin and you get punished about it, you do something wrong and you get punished for it, don't get mad at the people that didn't get punished if they didn't do what you did. But you know, eventually we all stand accountable to God. It's not just mama and daddy, and it's not just the law. One day we go out there, if you know, right now you do something wrong and you maybe mom and daddy get on to you, or a teacher or somebody like that. But you get to a point in our society, you go out, you grow up and you do something wrong, now you got to deal with the police or the judge or somebody like that. But one day we all have to deal with God, don't we? And you know, the secret is, get right with God, and if you focus on doing of having your relationship with God right, it'll take care of a lot of this other stuff that you have to worry about. And the earlier you do that, the better. The younger you do that, the better. But there are several verses that the Bible talks about that work on this. Jude verse 18 says, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. Proverbs 8:35, talking about wisdom, it says, whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Proverbs 10:23, it is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. People go out and they do something wrong and they laugh about it like it's a game, and it's not a game. It hurts people. When we do wickedness, it hurts other people. Proverbs 12:2, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. Proverbs 13:15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. And then Romans chapter 14, verses 17 and 18, for the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. So, how you view sin or how you view wrongdoing makes up a lot about your character. If we laugh at sin, it's going to cost us down the line. If we if we go away from that, that's going to bring favor, not just favor from God, but favor from man. And if you look at the television, a lot of times on the television, you have people that, for example, a comedy show, and somebody will do something wrong, and then you have the laugh track that comes in after it, right? And we sit there and we look at it and we laugh, and a lot of it's because that laugh track comes in. And we just, have you ever been amongst a bunch of people and somebody says something that really you shouldn't be laughing at, and everybody starts laughing, and all of a sudden you find yourself laughing along with them? That's the idea of the television. And it's almost like in some ways they want to condition us to laugh at sin, and we should never do that. Because sin, you know, people laugh at, we laugh at adultery and fornication and different things like that. And it costs people. It hurts people. We laugh at people stealing, but when somebody steals, it hurts people. It injures people. And it's amazing, we always recognize when somebody sins against us, but we find excuses to laugh at the sins of others, laugh at the sins we do to others. And that's just not right. Something to think about. And if God spoke to our heart, then we need to pay attention to that, don't we? And then Proverbs 14:16 says, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. When you look at that passage of Scripture, A person that is wise, he looks toward the consequences of what is going to happen by their actions, and that's how we decide how we're going to behave. Now think about it. Listen up. If you don't think about what you're going to do and how it's going to affect other people, there's going to be a cost to that. You could lose a friend. You could lose a family member. You could lose a neighbor. You could lose a lot of different things. You can destroy relationships that way. If you look at what you think and you say, you know, if I do this, what's the consequence going to be? How is it going to impact other people? In our culture today, we've almost got to the point where we don't care what it's going to do to anybody. We don't care what our behavior is going to do, but we sure do get upset about other people's behavior affecting us, don't we? And in this passage of Scripture, he says, "A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident." He goes out and says, "Oh, there's not going to be any consequence. I don't care what's going to happen." I used to live that way. I can tell you by experience that there are times you're going to come up and you're going to say, "I wish I wouldn't have done that." Yep. And we all have to deal with that. There's wisdom here in the Word of God. Proverbs 14:7 says, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated." Proverbs 28:14, "Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." Proverbs 22:3 says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." A prudent man looks ahead and he says, you know, this is not going to end well. This is going to be a problem. There's going to be consequences. So what do I want to do? I want to hide myself from that time to come. I want to protect myself. I want to protect my family. And it goes that way for spiritual things. We're all one day going to stand accountable to God, aren't we? And God offers us salvation today, doesn't He? You don't have to wait till the day you die to know whether you're going to heaven or not.
That's right. Amen.
And a wise person would look at that and say, you know what? One day I'm going to have to stand accountable to God, so I'm going to deal with that now. I'm not going to wait till that day. I'm not going to wait till that day at all. So there's great wisdom in that. And the Bible says in Proverbs 14:27, the third verse that we looked at, says, "The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death." The Bible has a lot to say about the fear of the Lord. And people a lot of times, they don't understand what that fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord here is not looking at God and saying, "Oh, I've got to be afraid of God," because God doesn't want you to fear Him in such a way that you will not come to Him. But what God wants you to do is see the truth. When we talk about the fear of the Lord, He wants you to have reverence toward God and His character. Now listen, that God is holy and that He will do what is right. Everything that we do, like I said, one day we'll give an account to God for. And God's going to be the judge. And God is going to right every wrong. That includes my wrongs and your wrongs. And He's going to do so righteously. You know, if I were to say to you, and I could give you cases, and we're having this problem in our culture today, aren't we? We have cases where people have this idea about what should be prosecuted and what shouldn't be prosecuted. And they're letting people go that should be in jail. And then they go out and do the same thing again. We say, how can these judges be so unjust not to care about the victim? And they're unjust not to care. You know, I've known cases where, for example, a man had beat his wife and she got a restraining order on him and she comes out of the hospital and finds out that the man's not in jail. He's back on the street and all they've got is a piece of paper. Think about that. And they come right back in. And the same thing over and over again. I've seen cases and read cases where people have been been accused of murder, and they end up back on the street and they go out and kill somebody else. Those things have happened. We see that in our culture, and when we see it, we look at that and we say, that's not right, that's not just. But God, even though He's merciful and delays judgment, there's coming a day when there's going to be judgment, and God has already told us that He will right every wrong. He will judge every person in righteousness. So one day, there's going to be a judgment. And it's not to be afraid of God, but it's to believe God and trust Him enough and realize that He's holy and He's going to keep His word. And so we're all accountable. So there's a consequence to our sin regardless of what we do. And God's made provision for that sin. That's why Jesus died on Calvary's cross. That's why He rose from the dead. The Bible says He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. And eternal life is offered as a gift to those that will receive it. Your choice. But to fear God means to reverence Him, to believe what He says He's going to do. That's all God's asking of us, just to believe what He says. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied, he shall not be visited with evil. Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs 13:14, the law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. And Proverbs 16:22, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. When the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord, it's not asking you to be afraid to approach God. Matter of fact, He invites you to approach Him. He invites you to come to Him. It's saying, realize that in order for God to be just, He has to judge all sin, including yours and mine. And though He tarry, and though He waits and gives people space, there's the day of reckoning for all of us, isn't there? And when that day of reckoning comes, it's going to be absolutely just. We talked a couple weeks ago. I preached a message about God's record keeping, and I went down to the records that God keeps of the very hairs of our head, the tears that we cry. But every deed, every thought, the Bible says every idle word that men shall speak, they'll give account thereof in the day of judgment. And there's going to be a day where God's going to be absolutely just with everybody who's harmed you and done anything against you. But He's also going to be absolutely just with you. And He's going to do right regardless. And Jesus died on Calvary's cross, and He suffered the punishment for our sins so that we could have that offer of eternal life. And God offers it. He doesn't force it on you. He offers it. And so when we talk about the fear of the Lord, we're just talking about reverencing God enough to believe Him. So that's all I've got for you this morning. We'll have a word of prayer and then we'll take a break, and that'll give the kids a little time to burn off a little more energy and everything like that. But, you know, if you got that passage of, if you got the sheet that I gave you, I'd encourage you to just take some time and read those passages and just think about them. Because that's what they're there for. To just take the time and think and take stock. So I hope that was a help to you. I hope it was a blessing and encouragement. And maybe even a challenge. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll take a break till the morning preaching. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for your love and your kindness and your mercy. And Father, I just thank you that you love us enough to tell us the truth about everything. Whether it's good or bad, however we live or what we think or say or do, you're honest and you tell us the truth. You're so honest that even the people in the Bible that are celebrated as being great believers or Christians or whatever the case may be, that you're so honest that you even tell us of their failings. And Lord, we know clearly that you've clearly told us that you're going to do what's right regardless of what anybody thinks or feels. And we look forward to that day, but Lord, help us to reverence you and believe what you say you'll do. Look and see how honest you are in the Scripture when you tell us what the consequences of sin's going to be. And Lord, when you tell us about the nature of man, we can look at that and we can say, yep, it's true. So help us to believe you in those things that we cannot see. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.